Thank you for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in seven different locations. We hope that today's message encourages and empowers you on your spiritual journey and helps you grow deeper in your relationship with God. To learn more about Our Savior's Church and how you can get involved, you can visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I'm excited to teach today. I'm going to do some teaching today, and we're starting a brand new series called Come to the Table. And how many of y'all know, I appreciate this about our culture here in South Louisiana. So much of what we do is based around food. Have y'all ever noticed that? Whenever anything we do, it's usually, what are we eating? And I just, Heidi and I have had the privilege of being around the country, traveling around. I want to say there is no better food in the world than right here in South Louisiana. I just want y'all to know that. And not only can you girls cook, but you men can cook too. Everybody here cooks. That spirit has not fallen upon me yet. But I am so grateful for all of you who can cook. How many of you are getting hungry right now? Me just talking about it. And so much is surrounded about the table. Did you know that the table is very significant in the Bible? And so in these weeks leading up to Easter, I'm going to be talking about a table each Sunday. Come to the table. I've had the privilege, Heidi and I have had, to be at some of your tables where you invite us to your home, and we sit around, and y'all know what happens at the table, right? You tell funny stories. You exaggerate. You tell your kids you could have gone pro. You tell stories. So you get embarrassed at the table. People tell stories about you. But it's the fellowship and the connection. And I want to talk to you today about one of the most significant tables that you'll find in Scripture. And then at the end, we're going to receive communion. I hope that today when you leave here, that you have a greater understanding of what we're going to do at the end. And I pray that even if you've been in church for a long time, or this is your first Sunday, you're going to walk out of here going, I understand the bread and the wine and the communion and why we receive communion today. Are you guys ready to go? All right, so let's jump in today. Let's go to the book of Luke. I want to teach today and do some pastoring. Luke chapter 22, we're going to begin at verse number 7 and follow along. Don't forget, if it's in the yellow, you say it out loud with me, and that way you'll track with me. Luke 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. You've heard of that phrase, Passover. You'll understand it today. So Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it. They said to him, where will you have us prepare it? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a Stanley cup of water, no, a jar of water, will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. Now let's stop just for a second and let me give you some context of this. Let me tell you what's going on. Jews have been celebrating the Passover ever since the Passover happened. In fact, Jews would go and look at this time where Jesus is at. They would celebrate it each year. And here's what they would be celebrating. They would celebrate their history of God delivering them, their forefathers, from the bondage of Egypt. The people of Israel were slaved under Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, for approximately 400 years. And this is the day that they celebrate their deliverance from slavery. And so they were slaves to a system, slaves to a higher power. And there was nothing that they could do to free themselves. Let me say that again. There was nothing that they could do to free themselves. Let me say it again. There was nothing that they could do to free themselves. It's important that you understand that. So God's going to raise up a deliverer. His name is Moses, and he is going to go tell Pharaoh to let the people go. Let's look at the conversation that God has with Moses before he goes in. It's found in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. God speaking. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from the slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. Did you notice a pattern in that scripture? Not a trick question. What was the pattern? I am. I will. I will. I will. I am. I'll redeem you. I will deliver you. I will set you free. I will get you out of Egypt. Did you notice that it wasn't you will, you can, if you'll do this? It was all dependent on one person. Why is that important to us? Because anybody sitting in this room, I don't care what step you're on, if you're born, saved again, and moving in your relationship with God, it had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with Him. Let me say it a different way. You didn't choose God. God chose you. No, let that sink in just a moment. If you're sitting in this room and you go, well, I went to church and I read the Bible and I prayed and I found Jesus. No. He came after you. He put the witness in front of you. He's the one that put the thought in your mind to bring you to this place. He's the one. He redeemed you. He set you free. He got you out of Egypt. You ought to give Him praise for that this morning. It's all been Him. Let me tell you why when you start thinking it's you, you go from a relationship of dependence upon God into a religion. And once you get religious, you start looking on people down where they're at. You start looking down on people because you forgot it was you. It was Him who got you out. So I want you to see that. And time again, Moses told Pharaoh, let my people go. Let the people go. But he wouldn't listen. And you might remember, he started unleashing, God did, judgments. There was 9 and then the big one. I'll list them for you. Remember first, the water turned to blood. Pharaoh wouldn't do it. Then frogs came. How many of you know, in South Louisiana, we would have just got them and ate them. Then gnats. Then flies, then the death of livestock. He still wouldn't relent. In fact, the Bible says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Boils came upon people. Hail, locust, darkness. And then there was one final plague. It was the death of the firstborn. God told Pharaoh, if you don't let Israel, my firstborn, free, then I'm going to bring judgment and strike down yours. And the true God of Israel struck down the false gods of Egypt and every firstborn, livestock and human. Let's look at that. Look what God told Aaron and Moses in Exodus chapter 12, verse number 3. Tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of the month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, to what each one can eat. So make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without what? Blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. And when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight, then you shall take some of the blood, and put it on the doorpost of the lintel of the house in which you eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So the blood over the doorpost was marked that they belonged to God. And when the death angel came in to kill the firstborn, it passed over that house, and the plague never came to it. Everybody say, thank you for the blood. Oh, the blood. Okay, so you're understanding what Passover was. Watch what happens. Don't miss this. The houses that were spared were the houses that was marked by the blood. The houses that were spared were the houses that were marked with the blood. The blood was a sign of those who trusted God to do for them what they could not do for themselves. God passed through Egypt in judgment, but he passed over his people in mercy. Watch this. I want you to see this. Notice, the people of Israel were saved because they applied the blood. But that's not all they had to do. They had to eat. They had to come to the table. Look what Exodus 12 and 8 says. I'll remind you. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. What's unleavened bread? Why was it unleavened bread? Unleavened bread, leavened bread takes time. Leavened bread has to rise. And they said, we're not going to have time for leavened bread. This is going to happen quickly, so we need to be prepared. We're only going to be eat with leavened. This is a microwave before they had microwaves. Just take the leaven out. Let's just eat the bread, the flat bread. I want to say something about time for a second. It may be me, because I'm old now. That was a moment to encourage me, but y'all didn't. I'm getting older. Thank you. And I'm too late, though. And I'm a grandfather now. I don't know if y'all knew that. Yeah, I'm a grandfather. Yeah, so it's getting... But is it just me, or is time quickening? Time is going faster. The other day, Pastor Jacob called me, and for those who do know Pastor Jacob well, I've always said this for 25 years. He rides a fast horse. He is always in a hurry. And it was. He called me and goes, Pastor, I just feel this. And when he does that, I kind of lean in, because I knew it was from the Lord. He goes, I just feel this sense of urgency. I go, okay, the guy that rides fast already is saying, we need to speed up. And we were talking about, but I just believe that. God is doing things quicker now, and it's just faster. Everything's going rapid all at the same time. I believe God's up to something, and he's going to do it quickly. God's up to something. It's happening. And so he says, unleavened bread. He also said, bitter herbs. Why do we eat the lamb with bitter herbs? Bitter. The bitterness. Bitter was the reminder of that bitter experience in Egypt. It's the bitterness of being a slave. They ate the lamb with the bitter herbs. Why eat it with? How many of you know Can you remember your life before Jesus? Do you remember the bitterness of your life before Jesus? It's important. He's like, I want you to remember. I want you to remember the bitterness. That's why the Passover got bitter herbs. He wants us to remember life before him. He wants us to remember sin is heavy. It's the heaviness of sin. It's a weight on you. And they were under this bondage for years. And he said, I want the reminder to us that the Lamb delivers us from the bitterness of slavery. So when we take communion, we're going to at the end, we're going to be reminded of the bitterness of the bondage, but we're going to celebrate the sweetness of the Savior, that he redeems us from it all. That's not only said, you're going to eat, but I want you to do it in this manner, verse 11. In this manner you shall eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat in haste. Hurry up, eat it, because it is the Lord's Passover. What does that mean? What does it represent? The belt, the sandals, the staff. That means you got to be ready. Get ready. God's up to something, and if you're not ready, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss what he's doing. Judgment is coming. This is a picture of us running from sin, not to remain in something that God has already delivered us from. Can I break it down one more level? This is not the season, I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the Lord, this is not the season to try to stay to close to sin as you can, or as close to the fire as you can without being burned. This is a day that we should be leaving sin, getting as far away from sin as we possibly can. When Heidi and I started out in ministry, we were student directors, and this is the number one question. Pastor, can I listen to this? Pastor, can I go see this movie? Pastor, is this music okay to listen to? Everybody, they wanted to know the rules. Where's the line? And we would always say the same thing. Get as far away from the line as you possibly can. The Bible says he's holy and we should be holy. We shouldn't be trying to find, are y'all tracking with me? We shouldn't be trying to find out where the line is. Can I just break it down one more level? Yeah, we live in a culture, in a society that's hedonistic. It's all about pleasure. Pleasure is the new God. And I just can tell you, in the area of sexualness, I guess is a word. Listen, you need to flee from that. You got to do it God's way. There's a reason. He is not a killjoy. He's the one who invented it. He's not a killjoy. And you got to flee from it. You got to remove yourself as far from that. You can't keep going back to the same places and go, well, this time I'm not going to. You got to get as far. Are y'all picking up what I'm laying down? I love you. I'm going to tell you the truth. And this is where we are at in our culture. Have your sandals ready, your belt. Come on, the judgment of God is coming. Get ready to run. Look what he says in verse 14. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever, and you shall keep it as a feast. Well, this sounds like we need to start selling lambs in the foyer and giving it to legacy, that we would continue the Passover just as they did from this day, because the scripture says it's going to be forever we'll be celebrating the Passover when Israel came out of Egypt. Well, let's continue. This is what Jesus and his disciples are remembering. They're about to go in and follow along the Passover. All of Israel's looking for lambs and follow the guy with the water jar. Let's go up and let's get inside because we're going to celebrate the Passover. Watch what happens when Jesus walks into the room. When the hour came, Luke 22, 14. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table. Y'all come to the table. and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup in which he had given thanks, and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. And they all poured a little bit in each of their cup. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them and said, this is my body. Wait a minute. Where's the lamb? We got the wine that represents the cup. But where's the lamb? He said, no, this is bread. And it's going to represent my body. Do this in remembrance of Moses and Egypt and Pharaoh. No. He says, do this in what? In remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup that had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant. The new in my blood. What's God doing? What's Jesus doing here? Wait a minute. It's a statute. It's going to be remembered forever. Don't forget the Passover. Now Jesus is in the New Testament celebrating the Passover, but he's rewriting the Passover. He's rewriting the rules of Passover. He is now going, and look at me right here. This, somebody taught me this years ago. I don't know who it was. I can't give him credit, but it wasn't me. They said the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, but the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Did you get that? The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, but the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So you need both of them to understand. Jesus is actually reinterpreting the Passover. This is the final week of his life. Jews were busy selecting Passover lambs, and they're going, where's the lamb? We're going to need a lamb for the Passover. Do you remember what John's words were? John the Baptist, when he was baptizing people, and Jesus was not yet known to the public, and he was baptizing people in repentance in the Jordan River, the one who was to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. And when Jesus walks along the banks of the Jordan River, it was John who first said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, declared who Jesus was. Disciples didn't need a lamb. They didn't need to go find a lamb because they were sitting with the very lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away. You ought to give God praise. The Lamb of God. And he's about to give his life. He's about to go to a cross and give his life. And this is what he's saying. I want you to remember me as a memorial feast forever. That you're to take the cup and the bread and remember it. This is our Passover. Because if you're marked with the blood of Jesus and you're in this room and you're born again, that means the blood of the Lamb has been put upon the doorpost of your life. And that you don't have to fear what every man fears, death. That death will never come to you. It will pass over you because he has conquered death, hell, and the grave. That means this, good news, your last breath on earth is your first breath in heaven. Come on, let's give him praise. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Jesus came to give us a new exodus from the back-breaking bondage of sin. And all who believed in him are going to be saved by the blood. That's what I want you to know. That's what I want you to know. I hope you have a greater understanding today of, oh, wait a minute. We don't do Passover like the Jews still do Passover, because Jesus walked in and reinterpreted Passover, because we don't need lambs anymore, because we already got a lamb and he already sacrificed himself for my sin and yours. This is no longer me, me, me. It's him, him, him. It's what he did. He did it on the cross to buy you. You ain't good enough. You and I are not good enough. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags to the Lord. It is all a work of the Lord. You're sitting where you're at and I'm sitting where I'm at. It's still unbelievable that God would choose to use us to declare his goodness and his glory. I can't believe I'm sitting here. If you knew my past, you would say that too. I can't believe he's there. So when we come, when we go, now let's remember. Do this in remembrance of me. That's what I want you to know. But what do I want you to do? Can I be honest? I should be. I'm a pastor. Just because God hasn't brought judgment on our sin or the consequences of our sin yet, we think he's okay with it. You know what I'm talking about. And for each of us, it's something different. That we ought to run from that in haste and go. This is a warning by the Holy Spirit. Wherever you're at, it is a warning to go, I better leave that. I've been dabbling with it. I've been getting close to it. Even Egypt, Israelites, when they left Egypt, got halfway through the desert towards the promised land, and some of them began to mumble and complain because it wasn't exactly how they thought it was all going to be. And they said it was better back in Egypt and wanted to go back. And can this just be a warning from the Holy Spirit? Don't go back. Don't go back. Flee from it. Move from it. Some of you need to break a relationship off because you know it's not leading you in the right direction. It's taking you back to Egypt, baby, instead of getting you to the promised land. Run from it. Get dressed. Run quickly. This is the time. The Holy Spirit's moving in our world. Man, just go, no, man, this is time to get serious about God. Yeah. And let me give you number two. I want you to remember the Savior. I don't want us to take communion anymore almost as common. Sometimes we take something that's holy and sacred and we treat it as common. That's called profanity, to profane. That's to use it in vain. Using the Lord's name in vain is not just saying God and with a curse word. It means to take something that's holy and treat it as common. Never forget the price was paid for your freedom. When we take communion together, we come to the table and we remember the bitterness of our bondage, but even more, we celebrate the sweetness of our Savior. So today, could we do that? Paul warned us, hey, if you don't treat it right, he said you ought to examine yourself. And if there be any wicked way in you, so you could repent of it before you partake of it. And so he said that, and he said some of you become sick and even died because of it. So could we just do that before we receive? I know you were probably served with your cup before you go. Can we just do this real quick? I want to get you ready. Ready? Let's do this. Go down and then up. And then separate the two so we can get that done. If you'll separate, go ahead and open your cup. Mm. Mm. as you take the bread. Just have a holy moment here for a moment. Holy Spirit, would you examine us? Would you just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there anything in me? Is there anything in me that I need to flee from? And right where you're at, you can repent to God. Examine ourselves. Forgive us of our sin, Lord. Today we remember the bitterness of life without you, the heaviness, the bondage of sin, the sleepless nights, treating people the wrong way, our immorality, our pride, our lust, the weightiness of it. When we lied, we felt it. We remember the bitterness. And now we thank you for the broken body, the nail-pierced hands and feet, the crown of thorns, the repeated lashes on your back of a cat of nine tails. Isaiah said it was for our infirmities, the wounds on the inside, that we could be healed. The father wounds, the wounds from our mother, the wounds from our ex, the wounds from our children, the spoken words that found like an arrow into our soul could be forgiven and healed. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you for the broken body. Thank you for the broken body. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for healing us. You remember to partake of the bread. And we take the cup. The blood. Thank you for 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 the blood. We thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood that washes away our sin. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the covenant, the new covenant, the new one, the new covenant, the new covenant, the blood of the Lamb without blemish, the Lamb without a spot or a wrinkle, the sinless Lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Why we were still sinners, yet you died for us. We didn't have to prove ourselves to get the blood. You did it for us in advance. The blood that covers every one of our sins. That is the divine exchange, our unrighteous, our sin, and then you put your righteousness on us. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. We remember the bitterness, but we thank you for the sweetness of the blood that changes us. We thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. The blood. The blood. The blood. Thank you for the blood. you may partake of the blood. Thank you. Can we take a moment and just thank him? No, let's. No, we're not doing this right. He has saved you and forgiven you of everything you've ever done in your life. He has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will not even taste death. You will live forever in eternity with him. Come on, we ought to give God the praise that he deserves. Thank you for the sweetness of the Lamb of God. Come on, let's take another minute or two. Let's just give him praise. He's the only one who deserves it. It was all him from the beginning. It was never you. You didn't read enough, pray enough, go to church enough. It was him all in the beginning. The only reason why you and I are here is because of him. Come on, let's give him praise. Don't stop there. We bless him and praise you and magnify you. It was, thank you for his mercy, the mercy of God. Oh, come on. He should have killed me. He should have killed you, but he didn't. Thank him for his grace, blessing you what you did not deserve. So today, Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory and honor. Thank you. Every head bowed and eye closed, and maybe you're here today. Maybe you don't know this Lord and Savior. Maybe today you do understand now of what he did. It is the gospel. And all you have to do to access that is repent. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're in a room full of professional sinners. We're not perfect people. We just acknowledge that we needed his grace and his mercy. Maybe you're here today and you're ready to acknowledge you need his grace and his mercy. And then we repented. We put on our sandals and we ran from sin. Maybe you're here today ready to run from sin. And today, I'd like to pray with you. If that's you today, no one's looking but me. Would you go, Pastor, you, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus to be born again. Would you just slip your hand up high all over the room? Hold up high. You go, today's my day. I'm ready. I understand now. I see it. Hands are up everywhere. Congregation, can we add our voice to theirs? Say this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I am a sinner. But I know you sent Jesus, the Lamb of God, to die in my place so I could be forgiven. Thank you for the blood. I repent of my sin. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Give me the grace I need. Give me the mercy I need to follow you all the days of my life. I surrender. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise?